عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته to you and all Radio Islam listeners.
Mawlana, we hope that you're keeping well, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, with Allah Ta'ala's fadl and the du'as of all.
Mawlana, we have been asking our listeners from the morning to SMS us the questions that they would like Mawlana to answer and the issues that they would like Mawlana to comment on. And many of the questions have been along the lines that listeners would like Mawlana to perhaps elaborate and explain that what are the lessons that we as Muslims can and should learn from the recent happenings in the Middle East and the overthrowing of the many dictators that have been ruling in their countries for many years, if not decades.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, and I think the lessons must have been already broadcast over your airways. By many speakers must have contributed towards it, but not having had the opportunity to really listen to them. But I'm sure they all must have expressed the same sentiments, and that is that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He has got a system. It is not a kind of a government that we run in this world where we are not aware of what is happening around us. We are not aware of what is happening in the villages, in the locality, or in the distant areas. Many of our ministers who sit in parliament, they haven't even seen their constituencies properly. They don't know what is happening in their own constituencies. And especially those who are in the presidential position, those who are holding kingships, they don't even have any idea of what their people are going through. So, if we have to look at the history of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or if we have to look at the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in and their governments, then we find even Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, an Amir al-Mu'mineen, but he is going out. Of course, there's no time to go into any details since you brought up this question, that it is in the Fazail al-A'mal, also in the Hikayat al-Sahaba and so many other kitabs. So everybody knows that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the type of life that he led, and at night imagine him going around to see if there is anybody suffering, anybody in need, anybody that has got some kind of requirement. And then that very famous incident where the visitor had just come, he was on the outskirts of Madinah Sharif, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he comes to know, just to give the gist to the listeners, when he comes to know that the wife of this person is about to give birth, is in labor, he goes back home, takes his wife with, takes some things to cook and feed them after she has given birth. Now all these type of things, and many, many other incidents of him going around to see what is happening, to see what is the needs of the people. Now these are the things that became completely absent if we have to look at the Muslim countries. The Muslim countries, unfortunately, these dictators, their only concern was the increase of their own palaces and the increase of their own wealth, and they used their people for no other purpose but just to make things more and more comfortable for them, and not only for them but for their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and up to the Qiyamah also, I think if they use that wealth, it will not finish. So they were not in touch with the people on the ground. It was as if these people were nothing but just slaves and they could be treated in any manner. But because of that very strong position that they held with regards to military, they thought that they were in power. All these military rulers, all these dictators and all these despots, this is their major weakness, that they think that if we have got a very strong military, so then we can do whatever we like and it is not going to cause us any kind of harm or damage. And if there is any kind of uprising, then we will crush it with an iron rod. Now, this is unfortunately what happened, that people on the ground, they were frustrated. And look at the humiliation that they were suffering. Just one slap, and look at what it led to. Nobody in the world could have dreamt that Tunisia will come down just because of that one incident, which followed up with further humiliation of Marhum. So this sparked off all these violences or all these protests and brought down Egypt and brought down Tunisia, and I think Libya is almost going or gone, and other parts of the world have also suffered the same shock after And if you have to look at Saudi Arabia also, the king is really, really worried. So the lesson there is very, very clear that Allah Ta'ala gives a little bit of time so that these people may return to him, so that they may change their way, so that they may give the people of the land their rights, their dues, so that they may be treated with dignity. But when there is nothing but injustice, nothing but oppression, nothing but tyranny, then after a little while, as the Hadith Sharif also very clearly states, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will come to your assistance, telling the people upon whom injustice is done, that Allah Ta'ala will come to their assistance, even though it may be after a little time. Mm-hmm. Now, this is what has really happened, that wherever these dictators thought that their military might will crush everyone that opposes them, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala showed that those in military, they themselves turned around, and all these so-called superpowers who were at giving them billions of dollars, America was giving billions of dollars to Egypt, and all these places, Bahrain had American bases there, and unfortunately, we have to look at the wars that took place and all the support that was given for Israel. It was coming from these same people. So this is the lesson that we take from there, that don't be unjust. Don't be a dictator. Don't oppress. Don't tyrannize and think that we have got away just because we held some kind of power. Now what happens is that these things happen at the top level where governments are toppled, governments are overthrown. So we don't take lessons from there. We say, well, look, that government got toppled because it was oppressive. That government toppled because it was a regime that was tyrannizing, or it was not giving the people the rightful dues, or the people were suppressed and oppressed. But we don't take lessons from there, that injustice may be at that level. So what do we have to do? It's not just passing some comment. Indeed, we will say that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He showed it on that international level, or in the level of government, but within our own homes, in our own businesses, within our schools, our madrasas, or in our relationship with our people, with our neighbors, our society, our clients, our customers, our suppliers, and everyone all around, the laborers and the people that work for us, or those whom we work for. Now, anywhere along the line, if there's going to be injustice, suppression, oppression, especially, Maulana, you are well aware of the number of cases that we deal with, of husband-wife problems and other kinds of problems, domestic problems. Now there, it is the same thing, that the husband sometimes thinks that I am in authority and I can get away, because where is she going to go? She has nobody to turn towards. She has no mother, no father, no brother and sister, and she will have to live here under the conditions that I impose. I'm not saying that all the time the wives are right, but in those cases where the wives are right, so the husband thinks that he is getting away with this oppression and tyranny. And on the other hand, sometimes because the wife is the superpower, she has got the money, she has got the gold and silver, she has got the car, and her father has left behind for her, or the father passed away and she got a big inheritance. So sometimes she thinks that I can rule. So whoever it is, whether it is the parents, whether it is the children, whether it is wife and husband, whoever it may be, well, another lesson that we have to take from this is that put our house in order. Sure. The government, whatever will happen. There we will make dua, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, give the Muslim countries such kind of administrators and such kind of rulers who will have sympathy, compassion, love, and consideration for everybody on the land. And at the same time, within our home, ask for maaf. That is what I've repeatedly said. Humble ourselves. Ask for maaf and put our house in order, otherwise Allah Ta'ala can topple up the happiness, the peace, the tranquility and the homes and the person's fortune, just like he can topple the governments.
Indeed. 20 minutes past 9, you are listening to Sabah al-Muslim on Radio Islam International. Our esteemed guest this morning, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel, Sahib Damat Barakatuhum. We are taking your questions via SMS. The number is 072-786-1548. As well as email smr@radioislam.co.za. Another question that has come through also from many of the listeners is with regards the natural disasters that we have been witnessing worldwide recently, the most recent being in New Zealand. What should the approach of a Muslim be in this regard? Should we deem it as a punishment? Should we deem it as a test? And is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sending us a message via these natural disasters?
Well, now once again, we know very well that in the alamat of Qiyamah, and the signs of Qiyamah. This is one of the things that has been mentioned that it is going to happen. What we call natural disasters. Now, if you have to look at the history over the past 100 years also, you will never find the frequency with which these disasters are taking place as we have now. Sometimes it's Sri Lanka, sometimes it's New Zealand, sometimes Russia, sometimes it's China, sometimes it's South Africa, sometimes it's here, and sometimes even in Jeddah and Saudi Arabia. Now, all these type of disasters, they are giving us a very, very big lesson. I mentioned this many times in my bayan, and of course all ulama are mentioning these things, that when it comes to the disaster itself, that after a place has been stricken with disaster, earthquake took place, thousands of people became homeless, and millions of damage has taken place, and people are suffering, some suffering starvation, some are suffering other kinds of problems and difficulties. And at such a time, it is not that we should sit back and say, well, it's an azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them, and well and good, if it has happened, it is because of their doings and their action, and they deserve it. Na'udzubillah, na'udzubillah. We cannot say anything like that. What we should do at that time is sympathize. We should try and go out of our way to help and to assist and to make dua. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala restore their homes. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give them once again their comforts and their needs and requirements are fulfilled. That is what we will do when the disaster has taken place. But as far as the lessons are concerned, then definitely we have to take lessons. Mm-hmm. But why do these things happen? Now, if we have to look at the Quran Sharif, the incidents of the nations of the past, the stories of the nations of the past that has been mentioned in the Quran Sharif, they are not there just for a lullaby to put us off to sleep, or like how we tell children bedtime stories. So then we give them some stories that this is what happened when the people of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam refused to obey and listen to the Prophet, then sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Then he made baddua, or he cursed them, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent the flood, and this is what happened. It's not just a story. In the same way, the Qawm of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, their homosexual activities and the disaster that took place up till now, when people are making the three haram tours, then they can go and see what had happened there. The same with the Shoaib alayhi salatu wasalam people and all the others that are mentioned in the Quran Sharif. Now it is very, very clear. I did mention very recently again that look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how he mentions it. كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح فكذبوا عبدنا وقالوا مجنون وازدجر فدعا ربه أني مغلوب فانتصر ففتحنا أبواب السماء بماء منهمر. And it carries on the ayat of the Quran. So there's no time to go into detail, tafsir or any kind of translation. But the meaning is very, very clear. The words of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, فَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ. That means it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who opened up those doors, and the rain came down. And again, if you look at the ground, they started shooting out water from all sides, and the drowning and everything that took place, it is upon the order and command of Allah ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes it very, very clearly to the rejection of the teachings of that prophet of the time. The same with Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Look at the whole story that is given there. Then look at the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's people, that how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala changed the conditions. And on the other hand, we have Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam's people, that when Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam left them, seeing that azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is now coming, and the people suddenly started making tawbah, istighfar, and turning towards Allah ta'ala and shedding tears of repentance and remorse and regret and believing in Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala removed that azab. Very, very clearly shows that it is upon the actions that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends down different conditions. So individual actions will bring about individual conditions. Mm-hmm. Society's actions will bring about conditions for the society, of good or bad. And national and international, when people will indulge and engage in good actions, good deeds, obedience to Allah Ta'ala and His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabiya Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with His hukam, He will change the conditions. Peace, happiness, prosperity, contentment, satisfaction, plentifulness, abundance, and barakat and all these things, we are expecting that the time will come again when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give it in the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. But even before that, in our time, we are saying that if a person changes his life as an individual, then he will see the changes. He will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, Allah ta'ala's forgiveness, and he will experience it in his life. There will be some kind of sukoon, some kind of tranquility, happiness and contentment. But if we are not going to do that, so then the same thing is going to happen. Natural disasters, because majority of us, when we are going to engage, and Allah Ta'ala is not so much concerned about the kuffar, the mushrikeen, Yahud and the Nasara. For them it is Jannat on this earth. But we look at the majority of the Muslim Ummah today. If you take namaz, which is a fundamental thing, and everybody knows that how important it is in the life of a Muslim, but just travel out and see 70%, 60 to 70% of the Ummah, there's no even Salat in their lives. Go to the airports, go to the other countries, and go and travel out into the land and see that the negligence of Salat is at a scale that we can't even imagine. Mm. Then take the taking of interest and giving of interest. Take the lies and the cheating and the deceiving that goes on. All these things bring about a reaction. So for us, there are lots of lessons in there. But as I said, that when something happens, there's a devastation or destruction, then it is the duty of every Muslim to make dua for them, to help and assist them, and to take lessons from there for one's individual self.
27 minutes past 9, you are listening to a special program with Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Pirkal Sahib Dhaman Barakatuhum on Radio Islam International. And if you would like to ask Mawlana a question, the SMS number 072-786-1548 and the email address smr@radioislam.co.za. Mawlana, we've received an email from Brother Sulaiman. He says, Hazrat Mawlana, Jazakumullah for all your efforts of deen. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala elevate your status both in this world as well as in the hereafter. Ameen. Mawlana, during this month of Rabi al-Awwal, much has been said with regards to the seerah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please can you advise in terms of how we can achieve the true love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala?
First of all, Jazakallah to the brother for his duas. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept the khidmat and maqbooliyat is the important thing. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept it and forgive us. Then we say, inshallah, it's beneficial. But continue with the du'as. As far as the increase of the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is concerned, there is absolutely no doubt in the fact that there is a great deficiency in the true love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in our hearts. Great deficiency of the true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. And just last night I mentioned in the Zikr program that it is because of this deficiency of love, true love, that we find it very, very difficult to even do that which is compulsory, obligatory. We will take the name of Allah Ta'ala, we will read lots of hamd, we will read lots of naat sharif, we will read lots of nasheed, and everything else will take place. But when it comes to true love, then we are lacking. And I said, what is the system of true love? That when it is, we all know that in this world of illicit love relationships, what does a person not do just to please his illicit beloved? He goes out of his way. He's even prepared to sometimes give his life. And look at the battles that he has with his so-called opposition. There are many people interested in the same woman, and this person is also in love with that woman. And look at what happens. So there is a kind of thing that we all know, and that is that if a person loves someone, so then he goes out of his way to please the person that he loves. There is no question of loving someone and doing everything that is displeasing to the beloved. That person is either mad or the person has got absolutely no truthfulness. He is just making a loud and bold claim. But it is like that story which is very famous. Little children also, they are well aware of it. It's just an incident or a story that is being told by Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh. But it gives a very, very big lesson. So there was a person that was sitting, and there was a dog that was dying. So this person that was sitting by the dog was shedding tears profusely. So the person asked him, what's the problem? Why are you crying so much? He said, I'm crying because this dog is about to die. He said, well, why is it dying? He said, dying of starvation. So then what do you have in the basket? He said, in the basket I've got meat, I've got some bread, I've got this, I've got that. He said, then if you love the dog so much, then why don't you give it some of that bread and some of that meat? said, well, the meat and bread I paid for. And as far as the tears are concerned, they are free. So that is our situation. The lesson that he gives us is a very important lesson, that at present it is very easy for us to shed some tears for Islam, for the Muslims, and for Deen, and for Sharia, and for the Quran, and for the Sunnah. We will shed tears, we will make protests, we will do this, we will do that. But when it comes to the implementation, then that is where we find ourselves very, very negligent. We will take the name of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and we will sing his praises right in the midst of those places where nothing but disobedience of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is taking place. The person knows fully well that what I'm referring to, that different stages of the world where programs are held on Sira, in many places where there are knots that have been cited, men, women intermingling there, around there, and all crowded, one pushing each other, and then all kinds of things that are happening, and the person is singing away the Naat Sharif. And so this is, unfortunately, our love for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Of course, there are lots of lessons that people have taken from all the Sira programs around the world and around the globe, and what is required now is that the person should itemize, he should list, he should see where have I gone wrong, where are my weaknesses with regards to my love for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what were those things that pleased him? What were those things that angered him? Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was rahmatul lil alameen. And we all know fully well that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how loving he was, how caring he was, how full of mercy he was. But Maulana, you know very well that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, he expressed a desire, just to give you the gist of that hadith sharif to the listeners, that he expressed a desire, he said, it is my desire. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is expressing a desire that he get some people, young people, go and gather firewood. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes and burns the homes of those people that didn't come to the masjid for namaz with jamaat. I said, is some excuse, the person is sick or is a distance away from the masjid, then that is acceptable. But if there is no excuse of any kind, and the masjid is right around the corner, and sometime next to the person's own home, but he doesn't make it to the masjid for namaz with jamaat, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is expressing his desire to burn those homes, and he never did that, and he wouldn't have done that because of the women folk and because of the children. However, or because there are people who are sick and ailing in those homes, whatever it may be. But this desire of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to burn those homes, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has fulfilled that desire. Look at the homes that are burning. Look at the homes that are on fire. The fire of arguments and quarrels and disputes and fights and all kinds of things that are happening. The happiness, the tranquility, the serenity, the joy, everything seems to have vanished from so many millions of homes. What is it? So we have to look at the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam from that angle, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he left behind for us an example. In anything, any situation, we have to look into the seerah and we will find a very beautiful example. Or his companions, we will find an example. So this is what I am saying, and everybody knows very well that that when we listen to these bayans, most of the time it is now an entertainment. Nothing wrong, at least it's good entertainment that the person is listening to a bayan. But the purpose of bayans and waaz and nasihat was not entertainment. The purpose of bayans, waaz and nasihat was to check where are we going wrong, what are the things that we have to do, and what is it that will give us once again the dignity, that respect, that honor that Allah Ta'ala gave to those people who practiced upon the Quran and the seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam.
25 minutes to 10, we go for a quick commercial break. When we come back, inshallah, we continue our discussion with Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Damat Barakatuh. Radio Islam International this morning, giving us tools of wisdom in the form of advice. We continue, and we remind you that you can forward your questions to us on the SMS number 0727861548, the email address smr@radioislam.co.za. Hazrat Maulana, the next question, and we've received a number of questions to this effect as well, is with regards to the Cricket World Cup that is currently underway. A sister wants to know, can Maulana please advise me, how do I make my husband understand, how do I make my children understand that they are wasting a lot of time and compromising their deen in the process? My sister tells me that at least your children are sitting at home and watching cricket and they're not in some club or pub or not getting drunk on drugs somewhere else?
No, this is a worldwide problem, and this is exactly what we are talking about, that we have lost direction, our youth, our children, people within our homes, and sometimes the husbands, sometimes the wives, all of us seem to be so negligent when it comes to these type of activities and engagements that we forget that time is of great value. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken qasam wal asr innal insana lafi khusr. Now, all these things we hear many, many times. But the whole issue here is the changing of the mizaj, or the changing of the temperament, or the changing of the direction of the heart. Now, that is not going to come by just taking off with the child, or taking off with the husband, or taking off with the brother or sister, or whoever is watching for hours and hours and hours. There has to be some kind of effort that has to be made to make them understand that what they are doing, the kind of harm that it is causing to their lives. I have spoken on this many, many times, that Sharia doesn't stop us from engaging in a little bit of entertainment, which is within the parameters of Sharia, and to do some good physical exercise, to take a nice long walk, to run, to jog, to skip, and all these type of things, or to engage the mind in some healthy exercise. Now, that is all permissible. But here, when they are spending hours and hours and hours, and at the end of the day, what do you get? Now, how do you explain that to somebody who has become an addict? It is extremely difficult, but I can tell you, I can take qasam on it, that I've had the experience of associating with many, many youngsters, alhamdulillah, and many of them who have now changed their lives, they say that we were so addicted that the moment there is, in fact, they used to follow every kind of football team that was in these European teams, and also all these other matches and scores and everything. Now, some of them have come down to just looking at a bit of a score here and there, but that addiction of hours and hours is gone. Now, how does that come? It comes by educating the person and putting him into company where he realizes that true enjoyment is not in just getting glued to those programs there. And we all know that what kind of things are happening in the cricket world, what kind of things are happening in the football world, and all these other games and everything that is taking place is nothing but just one big money-making racket. They made a big fool of the South Africans with that World Cup. The billions of dollars that were spent in the stadiums, now look at those very people who are in full support of those stadiums and those matches. Now they are saying that we don't have food, we don't have employment, we don't have jobs, we don't have this, and they are taking the government to task. And those stadiums are standing as white elephants in most cases, and look at the amount of taxpayers' money that is still going into retaining them. So this is the thing, that everybody knows that what this whole world of sporting is all about now. It is no more just a cricket game that is being played, or just between two sides, or some football match that is being played. There's all kinds of gambling and liquor and all kinds of things that we can think of are happening. Now, when the person is going to watch such kind of things for hours and hours, then definitely it's going to influence the person. The heart does become affected. Just yesterday, one person was saying, and many people ask this question, that why we cannot seem to get that kind of concentration in our salah. I said, because look at the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says so clearly in the Quran Sharif, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. Allah تبارك وتعالى is talking about the Sahaba Ikram رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين. What kind of رجال they were? To give again the gist, because no time to go into anything, but the fact is that that they have people that their business transactions, their dealings, just to give an explanation, when they went to the marketplaces and they bought and they sold and all these type of things, it did not divert them from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. La tulihim tijaratum wala bay an zikrillah wa iqamis salah, and the establishment of salah, wa ita'i zakah, and the giving of zakah. That means when they came out of their businesses and went into namaz, it was as if they came out from one ibadat and went into another ibadat, because they were fully conscious of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's presence whilst they were in the business. There was no question of cheating, deceiving. There was no question of harming any person. There was no question of speaking lies or being untruthful or hiding any defects, nothing. In the tijarat also, they were fully conscious that I must only trade in the way that is permissible, that is pleasing to my Allah and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So because they were fully conscious, now when they went from this business into namaz, so their business was truly ibadat. Now they came out from that ibadat and went into another ibadat, which was namaz. And they too again, when they started with the first sunnat namazes and the other things, and then again they brought more and more concentration. Now here, the majority of the time people are glued to the television set, and up till the last minute, I'm talking about those who are namazis. Those who are not namazis, then of course they got no problem. But those who are namazis 5 times a day, and they claim also we make 5 times namaz with jamaat sometimes, so then right up till the very last minute now, they must not miss that last shot. They must not miss the last bowl or the ball that was bowled. Now up till then they are there, and then they rush to the namaz. Quickly after the first, again they're getting back to the television to see what happened now within that 5 minutes or 7 minutes that they were away. Now, if this is our situation, then how do we expect a kind of rahmat and mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to descend in our home? Then again, that story which has been told many, many times by me, that if we have to look at the television sets which are playing all these matches. Now, we can see what happens. After every little while, there will be some kind of an advert. Sometimes it is an advert of liquor, sometimes advert of some bank, or sometimes it's an advert, depending on who is sponsoring it. If it is the bank or it is the alcohol company, then repeatedly they play the same thing. And what happens is that even though the person may have had a kind of dislike and a hatred for alcohol, for wine, for that lager, but I can tell you that there have been people writing to me that they got so influenced and carried away that they actually went and took that same Castle lager and had a can of it. So you can see that it influences, this advertisement, the influence. So there are so many things that are happening there now for hours and hours when a person is going to watch. Then he will be, definitely his heart will experience a kind of darkness. And then that darkness of the heart will then manifest itself. Then we will find that his relationship with his wife, with his children and with the family, the person will become temperamental, the person is angry, and especially if it is his team that has lost, then it makes it even worse. So this is something that won't just go by one nasihat or waz. It requires a whole effort to educate the people that what they are losing out on by watching for hours and hours this kind of sporting activities.
Mm-hmm. 11 minutes to 10, we have in our company on Radio Islam International this morning, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, and Maulana is advising us on the various questions that listeners are posing. Maulana, the next question is a lengthy email. I'll try and summarize it. The brother laments and says, Maulana, I'm hopeful that you'll be able to assist me in this regard. I am a person who is generally respected in my community and many perceive me to be a pious person. However, for the last few years, I've been feeling a total disinclination towards any good deed. I basically have to drag myself to even perform my salah. I have been developing inclinations towards many major sins, some of which, unfortunately, I've even succumbed and committed. I go regularly for Hajj and Umrah, and I've made Tawbah, thinking to be sincere. I have begged and cried to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but I sense no change in my spirituality. I've even checked my sustenance to ensure that everything is above board and that I'm only consuming halal. I don't know what the cause for this, but I almost feel like I'm spiritually dead and I only get thoughts inclining me towards evil and no motivation towards good whatsoever. Can Maulana please assist?
As far as thoughts are concerned, many times we have discussed that we will not be able to control. Thoughts will come. And the inclination to sin is not objectionable. The inclination to sin, that is not objectionable. That's kind of a thought that comes in the mind of the person. He wants to commit some kind of sin. Now, over a period of time, when the person practices with sincerity, then of course that inclination decreases tremendously, and the person after that becomes more inclined towards doing good deeds. But even if the person has been making his namaz, making his tilawat, and the person has been making umrah and hajj and everything, and the inclination to sin is coming, then that is not something of real concern. What he must do is allow that thought to go past. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not take him to task that why did this thought come into your mind. But here what the brother is saying, that after that he succumbs to this sense. Now that is the issue. That many, many people, unfortunately, when they are doing the right things, then some kind of pride comes into the heart. Many a time that's what happens. That we begin to think of ourselves as superior than. We think of ourselves as better than. We think of ourselves as more closer to Allah Ta'ala than the others. Now this is something that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not like. That the person attributes the good deed to himself, that it is due to my hard work, my effort, my pain and suffering that I've been able to reach this stage. Now this, when this happens, then sometimes the person slips, and then he himself becomes occupied, or he engages himself in those very sins that others are engaging in, and he was looking down upon them. Therefore, we have to hate and dislike the sin and not the person. We have to realize that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can give tawfiq to the other person. He can just make sincere tawbah overnight, and he can bring a total change. Aise waise kaise kaise ho gaye, kaise kaise aise waise ho gaye. So that is the first thing that the person has to check, that if any kind of pride came into his heart after having done the right things and being recognized by the society also as a person of dignity and piety. Now if he begins to think of himself also like that, that I am like what they are thinking of me, then that was very dangerous. However, if the person has slipped and he has fallen and he is no more inclined as before towards good deeds and actions, then it means that now he will have to make a little extra mujahada to come back on track. Now this extra mujahada that he will make, his reward also will be greater. We heard in our school days of electricity being generated by water, the hydroelectric schemes. So there, the greater the force of the water, the more electricity is generated. So here, the greater the force of nafs and shaitan that is against him, now the greater the mujahada that he makes against that, and says that you do whatever you wish to, you invite me towards whatever you wish to, but I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not your banda. I'm the banda of my Allah. He is my creator. He is the one who has blessed me with my sight, and you are telling me to use my sight incorrectly. He is the one that blessed me with my hands. If you're telling me to use my hands incorrectly, he is the one who blessed me with my intelligence, with my heart, liver, and lungs all functioning. And now you are saying I must use my wealth in the wrong places, to use my hands and feet in the wrong places. I'm not going to listen to you. In other words, just as we engage in discussion with people who are alive and in front of us, like that in our minds also, there has to be a kind of a talk that we are doing against the nafs. So the real cure for the nafs and its thoughts, especially the thoughts and the wasawis, is nothing but to ignore it. If we are not going to ignore those thoughts, then they will take us in that direction. So it is until the person has committed that sin. If he commits the sin, then he will be taken to task. But if the thoughts just came and he allowed it to flow by, as many times I've explained, that it is like the national highway. And on the national highway, you get trucks of pigs also that move. And when we are traveling, and if we have got our children and families in the car, they'll say, put the accelerator down and overtake this truck. We don't want to follow this truck. Toba, toba, astaghfirullah. But we can't stop the truck driver and tell him, look, you've got no right to drive on this national highway, because he has also paid his taxes. But on the same road, there'll be trucks, there'll be buses, there'll be cars, there'll be all kinds of vehicles that will be moving. So let this thought go by. But if the person has slipped and if he has fallen, then again there's no need to lose hope. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. That is the beauty of Islam. There's no such thing as despairing of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. No matter how far the person may have gone, no matter how much he may have distanced himself, no matter how much he may have fallen, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the only one, that he is prepared to accept the person if he sincerely repents. So what the person should do again is sincerely repent. Therefore, I've said many times, I said that, look, and this thought came whilst I was in Madina Sharif one of the years, that lots of people, and this was question that people were asking, that how is it that so-and-so, he comes over and over for Hajj, and yet no change seems to come in his life. When he goes back, he's still doing adultery, and he's womanizing, and he's taking interest, and he's doing this, and he's doing that. So I mentioned, I said, look, the person came. So it is just like a student who did his matric exam, or he did some university exam, and he failed. Now, when he failed one or two papers, then they said, now we give you another opportunity to write again in March or May or April. And why are they giving the person this other opportunity? Is because the person failed that paper. It's not because he passed the paper. If he passed the paper, no, they give him another opportunity. So when this person has failed, so they give him another opportunity. But man is man. How many opportunities will they give? They'll give one more chance, two more chances, and finished. But Allah is Allah. He's so merciful, so kind, so forgiving, that he knows that this person, he has got some love for Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif, he made some Umrah and Hajj, but he failed. So give him another chance. Give him another chance. So for them, it's like being given another chance so that they may pass the examination. And for the pious and the righteous, they are given another chance and another chance, and again, and a repeated visit, so that they may increase the reward and increase the closeness of Allah Ta'ala and get the more and more closer. So this person, if he has been going more and more for Umrah and Hajj and everything else, but unfortunately now he has succumbed to certain sins, then there is nothing to lose hope. If it is the rights of people, then of course fulfill those rights. That is not something that will just go away by Tawbah. But if there is now negligence in other departments, then even though he may have to drag himself towards it, and his heart and mind is not in it, but he must go ahead, because now there's mujahada, and there's effort, and there's striving. On this, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him his mushahada. Jaisi jaisi teri qurbani, aisi aisi khuda ki meherbani. So now this person, although he may have, if you try and read one booklet, I think it is on my site there, my friends, they operate the site, but feeling spiritually low. And there I discuss Qabz and Bast. And these two states, they every salik faces in his life, but then to know why do we go through that and how to come out of it, the details are there. Inshallah, you'll find it beneficial. But basically, this is what he has to understand, that there is no question of losing hope. Again, that beautiful couplet of Hazrat Khaja Sahib, which last night also I mentioned in the Zikr program. Jo nakam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, baharhal koshish to aashiq na chode. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, jo sau baar toote to sau baar jode. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe, jo sau baar toote to sau baar jode. How can we ever be happy if this bond and this link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is snapped? So the person mustn't lose hope. He must continue and think that Allah ta'ala will give him great rewards on the effort that he has to now make to get back on track, inshallah.
Inshallah. As a Mawlana, unfortunately, time has lapsed. We would like to thank Mawlana for availing herself, giving us of Mawlana's valuable time this morning. And the advice was indeed inspirational and most beneficial. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept, inshallah.
Jazakumullah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept your service to the deen of Allah ta'ala and all the khidmat that the radio station is rendering.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.